This show is produced on the original lands of the Dja Dja Wurrung people, and we pay our respects to the elders past and present.
Hi there, welcome to the show, Good News Gospel Time. Today we'll be having some songs from Slim Whitman and a few other surprises along the way, so stay tuned. I hope you enjoy Good News Gospel Time.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on smiling face. That is why I shout and say, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Filled with my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the paths seem rough and steep, I see his footprints all the way. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fill my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Jesus knows before you even ask.
Sang for us, Don't Worry. We start the bracket off with one from Slim Whitman called He Keeps Me Singing. Into Good News Gospel Time for a little bit longer as we play some of the oldies and some of the new gospel songs around for you.
Parental advice have some pretty interesting titles.
Dr. Spock on parroting.
Is Captain Kirk working on a book then too?
That would be illogical.
And as far as I know, so is The Seven Worst Things Parents Do.
Ooh, huh? This could contain more than just seven in our house.
I can relate to that. Never fear, parents. The Magic Kingdom is here presenting
Yay!
The Disney Encyclopedia of Baby and Child Care.
The subtitle could be Mickey Does Diapers.
Goofy, more like it.
Yep.
Seems like everybody from Mickey to a guy named Spock has advice on how to raise your kids.
So how do you know which book's right for your family?
Well, believe it or not, there's one book that's right for every family.
Really?
It doesn't teach you how to burp or bathe, but the Bible will give you some of the best advice you'll ever find.
The Bible has advice for parents? Really?
Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6 has some great insight.
Ephesians 6, huh?
Yep. The Bible has some amazing advice for parents.
And I guess no one knows more about parenting than God.
That's for sure.
A little help for parents from the pages of Our Daily Bread.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and
I know
who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through a flame or flood, but His presence goes for me, and I'm covered
Eric is from Sweden, a self-confessed atheist, but an active, passionate thinker, which took a radical 180-degree turn. Eric shares his story.
When I was growing up, I was very firmly atheist. I was relatively involved in the young people section of the Swedish Communist Party. I was also involved in various animal liberation actions and observed a vegan lifestyle. And at the core of all of this, I thought organized religion and faith was really the root causes of most evils in the world.
Right. What brought you to being in that place?
I mean, in part, of it is obviously how you're raised and what you know, who you associate with. So there's certainly obviously an element of that. Sweden itself, where I spent the early years of my life, is a very secular country. It does have a heritage of Christianity, but it's all dating quite far back, and it's not something that's really heartfelt. So I didn't really come across all that many committed Christians. My view of Christianity and of religion was that people were either completely delusional, because clearly there was no such thing as the supernatural,
mm-hmm.
or it was weak people that needed a crutch to get through life. But it basically, at the core of it, it was people for whom it really meant very little, and I saw straight through their hypocrisy. And I guess the only other one that you did see occasionally were the ecstatic fanatics that were working themselves into some sort of a frenzy. And, you know, out of any one of those categories, I felt I was neither, and I wanted nothing to do with it. And obviously my communist and atheist persuasion was very strong there. So it wasn't so much perhaps that I had zero interest in religion, though, because I would argue now, and even though I wouldn't have used those words then, that atheism in itself is a faith, and,
yeah.
and my atheist faith was very strong.
Yes. Did you think it was a lot of this was passed on through the school system that you were at?
Yes and no. It was quite accommodating to many different sets of beliefs, but you did get it coming across strongly at times. I remember when I got to senior high school, the religious education teacher came clean early on in the very first class, saying that she was an atheist, and that she would have no issue in proving her point throughout the course of the terms that ensued.
And she was teaching religious education?
She was, yes. And I, of course, was cheering her on the inside.
So. That's bizarre.
Yeah, so it's quite a different setup. So it's more religion and ethics and survey of world religions that's covered in the content.
Okay.
I remember, even to this day, that some of the content of her first deliberations to us, as we walked into the classroom, it was pitch black. She'd drawn a big question mark on the blackboard. That says a bit about my age. On the blackboard in the classroom, and as we walked in, she got everyone in the class to be quiet, and she would go, "Shh, you know, be quiet. Am I disturbing you? It's only death knocking on your door. And when you leave this room, you're going to be 90 minutes closer to death, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it." And so on and so forth. But she was very much of the nihilist atheist persuasion, which there's obviously more to the atheist spectrum than that as well.
I would hate to live with no hope like that.
Yeah, and I see that now. I didn't see that then.
How did this all change for you?
Funnily enough, it was really in senior high that I started coming across some really devout, committed Christians that were different to all of my presuppositions. They didn't really fit the mold, and I kept on. I was really quite harsh. I was on a bit of a mission. I was a proselytizing atheist. I would like, you know, ripping people to shreds. I made my case quite convincingly, and I managed to convince some to abandon what they believed and held very dearly. And I was part of the debating club at high school, and I would often be involved in conversations with people. I managed to find myself in a stream of study at high school where I needed to study both religion and philosophy due to my interest in language. And that also opened up many discussions and opportunities. And I realized that in a relatively small class, I found myself surrounded by a handful of really strong, committed Christians mm-hmm. who were up for it. And they weren't going to just go away. And they were really quite firm with me. So it all came to a head when one of them basically sat me down in no uncertain terms and said, "Eric, I can't take you seriously. You haven't given God a chance, and I'm not going to talk to you ever again unless you read the Gospel of John, and then we'll talk about it next week."
So how did you react?
I believe more or less my exact words were, "Fine, I'll read it, and I'll prove to you from your book that your God's not real," and started reading it again and again and again, and noting things that I found to be confusing, things that I disagreed with, and started sort of documenting these. But what I failed to anticipate, of course, was the questions that it also raised for me. How could I be so sure? What if I'm wrong? What if Jesus is who he said he was? I couldn't put it down. I couldn't let it go. And it just kept on eating away at my atheist faith. And this was a process over some time, and it all started to change as God's Spirit was, I know now, working inside of me. But I, of course, didn't know that then, and I wouldn't have used those words. And it was a process over a few months, really, that this was all unfolding. And and I put up this big external facade that nothing was changing, that it was all business as usual, and I could play that game, but I was growing increasingly less convinced of atheism as such.
Wow.
That's our guest, Eric, a former atheist, now with a living hope for his eternity.
You're listening to Good News Gospel Time.
Every salvation I
That was Michelle Ward singing for us again, Every Good Gift. And Sam Whitman brought us that one a little bit earlier, called I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. It's great to have your company today on Good News Gospel Time.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
You're listening to Good News Gospel Time with your host, Milton Perkins.
Mm-hmm. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. And I thank Him for the storms He brings me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Quite a big bracket of songs there, starting with Rick Roman, brought us By His Stripes. It's the first time I played that one, and I hope you enjoy that one too. And John Horvath brought us Through It All. That was from his CD entitled Lead Me Gently Home. John Horvath, spelled H-O-R-V-A-T-H. Next one's, I've got another one coming up from Rick Roman. It's called The Holy Spirit.
But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in My name claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Many will come in the name of Jesus and deceive many. Many will come in My name and deceive many. Many will come saying, I am the Christ,
will deceive many.
We all have treasures we call our own. Mine are these hills I call my home. Just let me live till eternity in these hills. God walks with me.
Listening to Good News Gospel Time.
I will not leave you as orphans. Oh, no, 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 no. I will come to you. Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, 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 forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows.
but look to the cross, you are the Lord. And for our inheritance, give us the lost, you
Life's battles are often won or lost in our minds. Mind games.
Author and counsellor Cherie Hill is filling in this week with some wisdom on what to do when God says no.
Chris, what we need to remember is that if God says no, it's his best answer as he holds eternity in his hands. And even if we believe that in faith, it can be very difficult to live with. But if we'll be determined to trust that God knows the bigger picture that we can't quite see, we can walk forward in faith even with unanswered questions. You know, sometimes we think God has said no, but he has just delayed the timing so that he alone can be glorified. So God's no is not always a no. Sometimes it's a delay, and his delays are not his denials. They are simply pauses in his actions. But when we're certain that God has given us a definite no, the state of our faith comes to the surface and we are faced with what our response will be. More times than not, God's no is an opportunity for our faith to be tested and tried, refined and made into gold. When God says no, many of the impurities of our lives come to the surface and we'll need to ask God to deal with those. The goal is a clean heart before him. So we must see things in these times of confusion and discouragement as opportunities for our faith to grow. If you're struggling in your faith because God has answered your prayer with a no, visit scripturenow.com to be encouraged that God has better plans for you, to give you a future and a hope.
You're listening to Good News Gospel Time with your host, Milton Perkins.
Of my heart, my life.
That was Michelle Ward again singing for us Your Grace. And Terry Butler from the CD Songs for Worship sang to us Show Your Power. And Rick Roman brought us the one called The Holy Spirit.
I have lived a life of sin in this world I'm living in. I have done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I ask a beggar along the way if he could tell me where to stay, where I could find real happiness and love that's true. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. The sun will shine across the river, and you'll never be unhappy again. Follow the footsteps of the King till you hear the voices ring. They'll be singing out the glory of the land. The River Jordan will be near. The sound of trumpets you will hear, and you'll behold the most precious place ever known to man. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. The sun will shine across the river, and you'll never be unhappy again. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. The sun will shine across the river, and you'll never be unhappy again.
Thanks for joining me for this program. If you have any comments or questions, you can send an email to me at radiomilton@gmail.com. radiomilton@gmail.com.
And before I leave today, I'd like to thank the following people for their help with today's show: Paul Thompson, Chris Elliott and his guest, Sherry, and all the songwriters, singers, and producers. Thank you all very much.
It's been great to have your company today for this hour of Good News and Gospel Time.
May the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. May you find that long-awaited troubles all be small ones, and your blessings 10 times 10. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see. Sweet. and keep you till we meet again.
May the good Lord bless.